Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
You have your bulletins to go ahead and turn there. And inside the bulletin, I believe you'll find a handout that deals with today's talk. As you have been noticing, and I also think we got the PowerPoint ready for this. As you've been noticing, if you've been paying any attention lately to the news, you realize there's a lot of insanity taking place in our world. It seems like the earth, nature, as well as our fellow man, has lost it. And it seems like the world, or our earth as we know it, is kind of convulsing. You know, you look at two unprecedented storms hit the continental U.S., Harvey and Irma. Then you hear, no sooner do you hear the news of that than you hear about earthquakes, right? You hear about earthquakes. You hear about other world events. A few years ago, the earthquake in Haiti, the tsunami in Indonesia. Not only natural disasters, but you look and you see that, man, we've kind of lost our minds, haven't we? When you see our 25th anniversary, just this past week of September 11th, the terrorist attacks, you see terrorism in London and Barcelona and our own country. You hear of the saber rattling of North Korea and blowing up, testing more nuclear weapons. You kind of wonder, where is our world headed? Millions are affected by this. In fact, millions are affected not just physically, like all of Florida has suffered or been affected either directly or indirectly by Irma, but even more so, we're affected psychologically, aren't we? We're affected in our minds. The Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts, okay, will fail them because of fear, right? Now, Jesus addressed what some of the events would be in the last days. And I want to just compare what Jesus said with the reality of the time that we lived in and things that we have personally observed perhaps in our history. And of course, that's appropriate because we've been on a study over the last couple of months on conversations with Jesus, things that Jesus talked about that are still, they're still relate to us today. And we've talked about a lot of different themes. And today, we're not going to look too much into his words, because this is not going to be a message that deals with the last days. But I want to just tell you a little bit of what Jesus spoke about that would be indicative that we are, in fact, in the last days. Now, most people don't know this, but it's true. The Bible speaks more about Jesus' second coming than his first coming. Oh, you missed a good part for an amen. Yeah, it speaks a lot more, in fact, a lot more about his second coming. And one of the reasons that the Jewish nation rejected Jesus, okay, his first time around, was because they expected him to come. They confused the prophecy that dealt with his second coming with his first coming. They expected a reigning Messiah, and he didn't come as a reigning Messiah. He came the first time as a suffering servant, right? And of course, because they misunderstood that, they all of a sudden thought he was a phony, right? But the reason that happens is because there's so many prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus' second coming. Now, this should be something for us, as every believer needs to be aware, that Jesus is coming back. And it may very well be in your lifetime. How can I say that? The reason I say that is because one day Jesus, his disciples were looking at the great building that was Herod's temple, and they were boasting about the building, and Jesus said, listen, I'm going to tell you, not one stone, okay, is going to be left upon another. He's prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple that occurred probably about 40 years after he said that, maybe a little bit less, maybe like 37 years after he said that, right? And so the disciples' curiosity was piqued when he said this, and he said, Lord, tell us what's going to happen in the last days. In other words, how are we going to know that the last days are in fact the last days? Okay, and Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to give you some of the previews. You know when you go to a movie, that in the movie they give you the main feature, but before the main feature begins, they give you previews of upcoming movies, right? Before the main thing. Before the main thing, there are other things that they want to show you. And Jesus is saying, before the main thing, I'm going to show you what? I'm going to show you some previews of things that are going to happen. And follow along with me in Luke 21. You get the reference, I believe, there in your outline, as well as it's up here on the board, I believe it says, Jesus said, he replied, he says, don't let anybody deceive you or mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. A lot of people are going to come up saying, I am the way to salvation. Phony, phony, phony. Right? And saying, the time has come. He says, but don't believe them. And when you hear, watch this, and when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. And then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be, watch this, there will be great earthquakes and there will be famines and plagues in many lands. And there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. I'm thinking the eclipse we had a few weeks ago. Not that it was a miraculous sign, but it was a rare sign. Indeed, right? So jump to verse 25. If you're following along with me in your digital Bible there or regular Bible, it says in verse 25, it says, and then there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. Whoa. What does that sound like? That sounds like a hurricane, doesn't it? Strange tides. Everybody was focused in what? On storm surge. What is that? A strange tide. Did you see people walking in Tampa Bay? How Tampa Bay dried up, and they say that that's indicative when tsunamis take place, that all of a sudden the tide recedes before it comes back with a vengeance. That's exactly what took place in Tampa Bay. All of a sudden, all the water was being sucked out. Not all the water, but, you know, I'm speaking figuratively. But the water was taken out and people walked in Tampa Bay as on dry ground like perhaps they've never were able to do that before. Why? Because of this right here. Strange tides, roaring seas. It says people will be terrified by what they see. How many of you guys will be real honest and say, I was terrified? Four people were honest. The rest of you need to repent. you weren't terrified. You were in Philadelphia. Get out of here. I don't want to hear that. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. So people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Our earth is going through shaking. And so now look at this. Jump to verse 28. This is something that's interesting. Believer, listen. Pay attention to these words. These words are so crucial and so urgent for us. It says, when you see these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Whoa. Redemption is near. Guys, redemption is near. Why are we seeing this earth convulsing? Because redemption is near. Right? Why are we seeing losses, and why are we seeing these tragedies, these disasters? Because redemption is near. Now, none of us are new to suffering loss. We all know that's one of the most difficult things in life is dealing with loss, isn't it? I think about when I lost two daughters. I can't even imagine what that would be like. right? But it's a fact of life. It's a fact of life that we will lose loved ones, and we will lose parents, and we will lose grandparents and children. And sometimes storms come, or sometimes decisions that we make or things happen. We lose pets, we lose businesses, we lose properties. And we're going to have to navigate through the storms of life. And the storms of life have their way of bringing with them, with those strange tides, you know what comes? Tragedy, grief, destruction. And one of the things that we often ask ourselves when tragedy hits, when disaster strikes, the very first question is why? Maybe something affected you personally. If it affected you personally, you might ask, why me? Right? Why me? This is especially true when things that we experience seem uncalled for or unfair, right? You know, we can imagine the loss of someone that's 90, but listen, that doesn't register the same in our minds as losing someone that's 10 or 11 or 12 years old, right? So something in our minds, we say it's unfair. We say it's unjust, right? But yet that happens. Now, listen to me for a moment, because the Bible talks about this. And Romans 8, I'm going to give you a scripture that perhaps you haven't read too often, but I think is going to give you some great insight as to what is happening and why it's happening. If you turn in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 20. It says, against it, and I'll explain it to you. Don't freak out. Okay. It says, and against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. What was subjected to God's curse? Everything. Everything. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. What do you mean? What does that mean, all creation anticipates? So in other words, there's a part of creation that doesn't include the children of God that rejoices when the children of God will all of a sudden, okay, be found free from what? Free from death and decay. Verse 22, for we know that all creation, follow me with this, all creation has been groaning and in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Pastor, what does that mean? What that means, I want to take you way back to the beginning chapters of the Bible when sin was first introduced into the world. Understand this, that before sin entered the world, okay, there were no poisonous plants. There were no thorns or thistles, all right? There was nothing that existed that brought misery or harm to mankind. Because in the garden, there was a perfect environment. Even the animals that were wild were not wild. I mean, Adam and Eve could walk with lions, could walk with tigers, could walk with serpents, all right, and not fear that guy decides to have them for lunch, right? That didn't exist, right? Because there was no such thing as death and dying, right? And what happens is that the process that brought death wasn't there yet until Adam and Eve sinned. When the fall occurred, nature itself was subjected to all the consequences of the fall. That's why the Bible says that against its will, everything on earth was subjected. What does it mean by everything on earth? Nature was subjected to the consequences of its fall, of the fall, even though it wasn't responsible for the fall. So you often hear me say, we live in a broken planet, and because we live in a broken planet, we're going to suffer tragedy and disaster and loss and suffering and pain. Our planet is not fixed yet, right? So after the fall against its own will, so the curse came to everything because of Adam. Adam acted as the world's manager, as the earth's administrator, right? And so now every part of earth is paying for Adam and Eve's sin, right? What that means is that there is not a single part of nature that exists now that exist the way God intended it to be originally. Mango trees fall. Palm trees die. decay, disease, death, disasters, and all other forms of evil will continue in this world until what? He says it right there, right? What does it say? It says, until God's children, okay, see glorious freedom from death and decay, right? Until the curse is reversed. One day, God is going to reverse the curse, right? And until that day where the curse is reversed, it says all of creation is anxiously awaiting for the glorification of believers, right? Because why? Because when the believers are glorified, it too will be glorified. It too will be set free from the curse. So think about this. Nature's destiny is linked together with man's destiny. As mankind goes, so does nature go. Nature goes. So when man is glorified, meaning believers in Christ, when we're glorified and restored, the natural world will be restored as well. And that's exactly what the Bible says, right? And so there is hope today even for the natural creation, right? There's hope, which is going to be freed from the slavery that it's in. Why is it in slavery? Because it's doing what it does against its will, right? Our earth, our creation is in labor. It's going through labor pains, right? Our planet is going through convulsions. And when our planet goes through convulsions, you have tornadoes and volcanoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and disease, okay, and sickness and epidemics and terrorism. Why? Because the earth is convulsing because we are still in a fallen state. These are what? These are contractions. A hurricane is a contraction. Somebody say, oh, now you understand, right? Now you understand. And as these conditions become more intense and more frequent, so you have Harvey and then you have Maria, Irma, Maria, Lee, you got all these other storms lining up. As you see the frequency of them, here's what Jesus says. When you see them intensify and you see them become more frequent, then just like a woman having a child, what happens when a woman has, when the contractions get closer and more intense? It's time, baby. It's time. Okay. Time them. Okay, your contractions are what? They're a half hour apart. You got a way to go. When your contractions are 5 minutes apart, you better get to the hospital. When your contractions are like every other minute, listen, in 2 or 3 minutes, the doctor's going to tell you, start pushing, baby, because it's coming. Right? And so that's what the Bible prophecy is about. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, when you see this intensify, when you see these convulsions, when you see these birth pains, as Paul said, okay, the pains of childbirth, right? When you see them intensify, become more frequent, that means that the delivery of the child is at hand. Okay, that means that the coming of the Son of God is at hand. Jesus is coming. Every time you see a storm, Lord, you're coming. When you see a terrorist attack, you shouldn't look at it necessarily just through, you know, the common news networks. You should look at it through the light of Bible prophecy. How does this fulfill Bible prophecy? Because Jesus made sure that we would be aware of what the circumstances and the signs would be before his coming so that we wouldn't be caught by surprise. God doesn't want anybody surprised, right? So now let me jump and change gears a moment. Because that's the why. Why tragedies? Why disasters? But maybe a more important question than why is what? What do we do now, right? Now that we've suffered, now that we've gone through some losses, maybe not so much, maybe this might apply to people that have gone through real disasters. I mean, I wouldn't take what we've said real disasters, but maybe some people in Keys would certainly say that. People in Naples might say that, but maybe it's not just, I'm not speaking to you directly with the storm of Hurricane Irma, post-hurricane. Maybe I'm talking to you because you've gone through a real setback in your life. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you got a divorce. Maybe you're on the verge of bankruptcy with your business. Maybe the doctor gave you news about your health that you never expected, and you kind of say to yourself, this is just not fair to me. I just, you know, I'm too young for this. Right? So what I'm going to talk to you next deals with every one of these circumstances that I just mentioned. And here's what I want to talk to you is I want to tell you five things that you should do, or that you should know at least when tragedy strikes, right? And we all know tragedy will strike us because we live in a broken planet. I'm not making a confession of it. I'm just giving you a true statement of it, right? And here's a couple things that I found helpful when facing tragedy, when facing disaster. Number one, and you have it in your notes as well as up on the board. Step number one, what to do when disaster strikes, resist resentment. It's so easy when you've lost so much of your life. Maybe your health took a turn for the worse. I know some people here today that that's exactly what happened. They took a turn for the worse. And so see, you're now confronted with your life changing dramatically, perhaps, because of the diagnosis that you got. And so now you got to ask yourself, do I become bitter or do I become better? Do I become despondent or do I become determined? Do I become defeated or victorious or depressed or hopeful? See, either way, it's your choice. Your attitude is managed by your mind, and you have to make a decision, okay, every day, not just once, okay, I made a decision, every day. In fact, maybe several times a day, you have to make a decision. I'm not going to sink into depression or despondency or resentment. Think about this for a moment. We all know this is true because we've seen it on TV. In fact, we've seen it on TV now after this last hurricane, okay? The difference in reactions with people. How is it that two people that live on the same block both have suffered, okay, loss? How is it that one group is angry and one group is distraught, but another group is thankful? And they've gone through the exact same thing. How is it that one group manages to be grateful, okay, that they walked out with their lives, and another group manages to be bitter because they lost it all? Right? Why is that? Because it's a choice. Because it's a decision that you make, is it not? Okay. And here is a little known truth that people that sink into resentment that they sometimes doesn't register in the noggin. The little known truth is this: there is no correlation between your life experiences and real happiness. Oh, you missed a good part for an amen. Or you, either that or you didn't understand what I said. Let me say it again, just in case you didn't understand. Okay, there is no connection, okay, between happiness and your life experiences. He gets it. All right. Yeah, there's no, see, and sometimes we forget that because we're so accustomed to making, you know, to setting goals that life experiences are going to give me happiness. And if I attain this, and if I buy that, if I possess this, if I experience that, then I'll be happy, 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 happy. And here's what the Bible teaches me. None of those things produce happiness. All those things will leave you doing is craving for more, so you get the next rush, the next adrenaline rush of the newness of the new thing that you're after, that you've attained. But you make, and I make a mistake, I say this me because this sermon is for me too. Somebody's got to preach to the pastor every now and then, and so the pastor's preaching to the pastor himself today. So I say amen three times over. How's that? Okay. Yeah, because sometimes we forget that there's, you know, that happiness has really very, very little to do with what you have. And it has to do with a mindset. Many people suffer major losses in their life and manage to stay positive and joyful. And many people, okay, allow the similar losses to poison their minds, to sting them all the rest of their lives, and their lives become filled with self-pity and negativity, and they complain the rest of their lives. Look at the person next to you, say, you are as happy as you want to be. Don't get mad, okay? You are as happy as you want to be. Now in my years of ministry, I'm going on 35 years ministering, and in my years of ministry, I've seen whiners and I've seen winners. Right? I know, and I've seen people go through devastating circumstances and they remain cheerful. Right? While I've seen others, they just whine over every little thing.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.